Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 20. Iti guyatamam shastram. Idam yuktvamaya naga. Etad budva buddhi matsyat. Krita krita shavarata. Iti thus. Guya tamam, the most confidential. Shastram, revealed scripture. Idam, this. Yuktam, disclosed. Maya, by me. Anaga, O sinless one. Etat, this. Bhutva, understanding. Buddhimat, buddhiman, intelligent. Syat, one becomes. Krita, 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 kritya, the most perfect in his endeavors. Cha, and. Bharata, O son of Bharata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Purport. The Lord clearly explains here that this is the substance of all revealed scriptures. And one should understand this as it is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus one will become intelligent and perfect in transcendental knowledge. In other words, by understanding this philosophy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engaging in His transcendental service, everyone can become freed from all contaminations of the modes of material nature. Devotional service is a process of spiritual understanding. Whatever devotional service exists, material contamination cannot coexist. Devotional service to the Lord and the Lord Himself are one and the same because they are spiritual. Devotional service takes place within the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is said to be the sun, and ignorance is called darkness. Where the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Therefore, whatever devotional service is present, wherever devotional service is present, under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, there is no question of ignorance. Everyone must take to this consciousness of Krishna and engage in devotional service to become intelligent and purified. Unless one comes to the position of understanding Krishna and engages in devotional service, however intelligent he may be, in the estimation of some common man, he is not perfectly intelligent. The word anaga, by which Arjuna is addressed, is significant. Arjanaga, O sinless one, means that unless one is free from all sinful reactions, it is very difficult to understand Krishna. One has to become free from all contamination, all sinful activities, then he can understand. But devotional service is so pure and potent that once one is engaged in devotional service, he automatically comes to the stage of sinlessness. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing is that one has to surmount his weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature. He becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to this weakness of heart. In this chapter, the first five verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of heart, and the rest of the chapter, from sixth verse through the end, discusses Purushottama Yoga. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etam budva buddhimatsyat krita kritasvarata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, that whoever knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So here it mentions that the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of becoming intelligent, but not intelligent in terms of what worldly people think is intelligent. Prabhupada once said that one man is asking another man, are you intelligent? And so the man's checking his pocket to see if he has any money. The idea in the material world is that if you have intelligence, you should also have some money. And that's the sign of intelligence. But this intelligence is realization of the truth being the absolute truth, being Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ourselves as being eternal souls and being eternally servitors of Krishna. This is considered the essence of truth. Now, people don't accept this truth in general. They don't know that they're not their body. They don't know who God is. They don't know what the laws of karma actually are. They don't know so many different things, and yet they're handing themselves out different degrees of education as if they're learned, if they have a piece of paper. They don't know who they are, but they're considered to be greatly learned scholars. So this is called actually foolishness. If you actually don't know something and you claim you have full knowledge of it, and so that's called foolish. But if you actually want to advance the knowledge, then the first thing you should give up is your ignorance. So if you're an ignorant to something and people are giving you a reward for your ignorance, how ignorant you are, the more ignorant you are, the more they give you rewards for it. In other words, technology, manipulation of the material nature is not real ultimate knowledge according to the Vedic conception, because it doesn't help one solve the problems of life. For instance, birth, death, old age, and disease. It doesn't help one, stop one from transmigrating from one body to another. So if I'm a learned professor in this lifetime and I have my Nobel Prize for something, and in my next lifetime I'm going to become a dog, then what was the value of my so-called Nobel Prize? Can I take it with me? And when I get into a house, I tell the master, actually, you have a very special dog in your house. You can't conceive of who I was in my last lifetime. No, actually, for all that knowledge, if you wind up as a dog, then what is the value of that knowledge? It's actually, and if someone else is simple and pious, God-conscious, and they go back to the spiritual world, who actually is doing better? Unfortunately, in modern society, people don't know what real intelligence is because their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. Because they're in Kali Yuga, there is no dharma, there's no understanding of religiosity. What to speak of being the beginning of religiosity, which is austerity, mercy, truthfulness, and cleanliness. People are getting rewarded for becoming more or less devising means to increase illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Completely against the religious principles, they're getting rewarded for it. And because they don't know what religious principles are, they don't know where this world came from, how it's being controlled, what our destination is according to our karma and our activities. They don't know what the ultimate destination of life is. Therefore, all their economic development for sense gratification is actually simply deepening their entanglement in material existence. They don't know that the Vaishyas are supposed to protect the cows. Instead of that, they're just exploiting the cows. They don't know that the Kshatriyas are supposed to protect the people. Instead, one gets into the post of a so-called Kshatriya, a government official, and he just makes plans to steal from the people. When I was in Bolivia some years ago, there were one of the many revolutions that take place there. Every time they elect a president, they had, like, I think at that time, in 30 years, they had something like 25 presidents. And every time one became a president, after some time he stole whatever money was and went to another country. So this is the so-called leaders. The people are supposed to, they're not being, they say one thing and then they do the opposite. Or you vote for one party, you have a choice in some countries, you either vote for A party or B party, both A party and B party are both being controlled by someone else, by the same person. And the only reason why they have a choice is that people have this idea that they're actually making the decision. You flip the coin, it's either heads or tails, but on both sides of the coin is heads. And there's no idea of liberation. People have no idea that the purpose of Dharma is to regulate our economic development for sense gratification so we can achieve liberation from the material concept of life. We can actually realize things as they are by getting free from lust, anger, and greed rather than try to cultivate it to the maximum. Just like they invented this, the internet and these iPhones. And what do people do on them? They're simply eating, sleeping, mating, defending with a heavy emphasis, as long as the food goes on, defending and mating. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no problem. And yet they're spending all day long on computer killing demons in a dungeon. And thinking they're accomplishing something because you're a better demon killer in the dungeon than anyone else. And without the impetus, you know, all the advertisements, all the movies, all the magazines, practically speaking, most of them, they're all concerned with simply increasing people's desires for illicit sex. Without that as an impetus, people won't do anything. So this is called civilization by some, and it's called other things by other people. So it's not, as Prabhupada said, this whole civilization which is meant to keep people in darkness will soon come to an end. As we can see, it's whatever. Just by collapsing economically, it doesn't mean people get out of ignorance. It means that they may be more receptive, because right now they're a fever, so they actually believe that soon the video games will become so real they could actually enter into them and actually participate. They can actually become the dragon in the dungeon and kill people with their fire in the dungeon. Virtual reality, that's their... They can have something implanted in their brain so they can play these video games 24 hours a day. And it all seemed more real than what they think is real now. Then they think this is perfection. I always wanted to be a prince, but I can't be a prince. Everyone can't be a prince here. But in the future, if you buy your video game, everyone can be a prince in a fairy tale. That's what people are hoping for. It's called virtual reality, as if this is not enough virtual reality for them. They need another one. So the point is, real intelligence, real knowledge is to understand Krishna. Understand how the body is changing, but the soul is eternal. Unless people can understand that, their simply life is, human form of life, is just wasted. And to help them, there's Varnashram, but that doesn't exist nowadays. People are not being regulated by Varna and Ashram. Therefore, the only hope is the chanting of the holy names, that they can get some intelligence to understand what they're here for in the human form of life. They can get the intelligence even to understand that they're not their body and develop even an interest in that. If you tell people you invented a pill and you take it, you can live for 20 days longer, people will line up to buy it. And if you tell them we have a method, you can live forever, people aren't interested.
I
That shows how much their intelligence has been spoiled. They don't want to hear these things. They can't hear that they can't surpass time. Like as we were going over Hiranyakashipu, he was so austere, he was able to tolerate ants and moss and everything else eating his body. He was so intelligent, he had so much intelligence how the material world works, he could live inside his bones. And yet he couldn't figure out. Brahma, I asked him first of all, I asked him, make me eternal. And Brahma said, well, I'm not eternal. How can I make you eternal? And he said, well, I can't do that. Give me all these benedictions. So Brahma said, no problem. I'll give you all these. He didn't think, well, even a 5-year-old child may be able to figure it out. Why didn't Brahma give himself all these benedictions so he could become eternal? What value is all these benedictions to me? Obviously they're not going to make me eternal because they don't make Brahma eternal. Anyhow, these things are too simple for people to figure out. Under the spell of illusion, you can believe anything. You can have faith in anything. Everything except for Krishna. The last thing they want to do is they'll accept anything, but they won't accept Krishna. That's all. That's the material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. In the purport, Prabhupada mentioned about the weakness of the heart, and because of that, we are not sinless, and we want to lord it over the material nature. And I'm wondering how to counteract this weakness of the heart. Is it just a strong determination and decision, or is anything? What is the process?
The first weakness of the heart is the desire to lord it over the material nature. And I believe that's what it said. The first weakness is thinking oneself to be the proprietor of this material existence. The most important thing is when first we fall down is caused by the desire to lord all of material nature. So unless we can accept that everything here belongs to Krishna, then we're simply going to get in trouble, whatever we're doing. Material nature is not, you know, she doesn't take a break off on the weekend. Yeah, I've been working so hard, keeping these conditioned souls entangled 5 days a week, I need a break on the weekend. On the weekend they can exploit the material nature and we'll pretend it belongs to them. No, everything belongs to Krishna all the time. So unless we realize that, then it's being caused by the weakness of the heart. And Maya will simply, cover us. She has two things, the covering potency and the impulsive potency. She causes us to, it's the impulse. So we're covered and we're being impelled by material nature. So these are our weaknesses of heart. So unless we're willing to admit, to accept that everything belongs to Krishna and then try to utilize things in his service, and even while we're doing things, utilize these things in service, we should also remember that these things belong to Krishna. They don't belong to us. Not that, thanks a lot, Krishna, this is for giving me this in your service, now I can do with it whatever I like. I'll perform my service. I'll do what I like, and at the end I'll offer you some result from it. Just to be kind to you. No, we have to understand that while we're doing it, we should do it according to what, if it all belongs to Krishna, we should do it according to the authority that Krishna has given us to do it, to utilize it with. So then our weakness of heart will go away, otherwise it won't go away. Even we claim at the beginning we're doing it for Krishna, But then we do whatever we want to do in unconsciousness of Krishna. Krishna is not so full, nor is it his illusory energy who gave us that conception in the first place. And then this next weakness of the heart is desire to lord it over the material nature. So that follows. In other words, everything up here is for grabs. I don't, God is somewhere, but you can't find him. He doesn't reveal himself, so who knows where he is. And then we just utilize things according to the way we want it to. Which ultimately comes down to that. We want to control material nature. We don't recognize Krishna as a proprietor. And then we try to do things according to the result, to get some result that we want. So that's the other one. That's when it gets worse. And that's when one gives up the transcendental loving service of Krishna. So ultimately, we come here, we forget that Krishna is a proprietor, and then we do things outside of Krishna's instructions, and then whatever intelligence we have, we lose it. We simply become more and more animalistic. We give up whatever tendency we have towards loving service to Krishna. Therefore, the great personalities come, like Lord Jesus Christ and Lord Muhammad, and they take people up where they're at and try to get them engaged in somehow or another in Krishna's service, in spite of the fact that they generally can't accept that Krishna as he really is, nor do they follow very strictly the principle of serving Krishna, but still they do something. And therefore, they gradually make advancement that way. Gradually their hearts will become purified. He becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. So that we can see that, people. Everything, they take shelter of matter. This is mine. And it's not yours. It's not Krishna's, it's mine. And this is what loves me. This is what shelters me. This is what I need. And I need more of it. So it gets worse and worse as things go on. And the reverse, the way of getting around is accept that everything belongs to Krishna, find out what Krishna wants us to utilize it, and do it to please Krishna. We already have a tendency to, in the uniform of life, to serve some superior. So we should find out who actually is the superior and try to please him. We're already trying to do that. So we find out Krishna is the supreme, he's the superior, and we follow his directions. Then the result is that gradually Krishna will purify us, and then we'll become free from these different stages of material, of weakness of heart. I mean, we can see that just like before we joined the movement, if you walk by a store, you know, you saw some chocolate ice cream, you know, you didn't even know what you were doing. You were in the store already buying it. Now, because our hearts become somewhat purified, we think, well, I used to go in there and it looks pretty good, but maybe not. So that's a sign that my heart has become purified. Our hearts have become purified. All right, thank you very much. Grandarashimad Bhagavad Gita Kijaj.